in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, I feel like the Lord has some things for us this morning that he would like to just challenge us with. I believe that when the Word of God, when we understand it, and when we walk in it, it's such a blessing to our life. The Word, when it's understood and when we walk in the ways of the Lord, it produces homes, it produces congregations and families that that are right and that have love, and it produces some things that it produces people that have zeal in their lives. So I'd like for the Lord to help us this morning that the Word would work in our hearts today, that it would produce what the Word is meant to produce in our life. It says here in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, this morning, there's a lot of thoughts presented to our minds. And you know, the Word tells us here that we have a duty to bring those thoughts into the obedience of Christ. I thought about how that Christ, in His temptations, the enemy came and presented to Him temptations. He presented thoughts to His mind. And the Lord, by using the Word and the power of God, He brought those things subject to God and wasn't drawn away with those things. I think about if the enemy presented to the Lord thoughts in his mind, don't you know that he's going to come to us as well? You know, the Lord wants us to be able and wants us to take the things that come to our life and discern those things that are good and discern those things that are bad. Be able to discern the things that are from God and be able to use those things, and the things that are not, He wants us to bring those, our mind, into the obedience of Christ when those things come to our minds. In Matthew 15 and 18 and 19, I'm really just kind of laying a foundation here. But those things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. I think about Judas. It was a man that thoughts were presented to him. You know, I don't believe that Judas ever thought that the Lord would actually be crucified. When he, at least in the beginning, when he began to contemplate what he was thinking about. And the reason I believe that is because when he came to the temple and he threw the money down at their feet that had given it to him, and he said, "This is an innocent man." He never realized that the trap that the enemy had set for him was going to bring about the results that it did. And I look at Judas. You know, Judas had a covetous heart. He the money that was given to him, they bought a potter's field with. It was enough money. It was enough to buy a piece of land. So it was quite a bit. And Judas got his heart on that and his mind on that. And the enemy presented that to him. And you know, Judas went for that. He never realized the cost that was going to happen when that happened. He never realized that, you know, I'm going to have this money. But he just didn't realize, I don't think, afterwards he was so taken up with what had happened and the grief that he went out and took his own life. Judas never realized the trap that the enemy had set for him and what was going to happen in his life. I just want us to think about this morning a few things, and we're still kind of laying a foundation. But you know, every thought that's presented to our minds, we need to realize that those things have to come into the obedience of Christ. The things that are brought to our minds, if we contemplate and allow the enemy to draw out our affections after things that we know are not obedient to Christ, there's going to be a cost to that thing. And we don't know how great that cost is going to be. If For Judas, he never dreamed that a couple of days, that just one day down the road, he was going to be dead because he hung himself. Judas never realized, I'm sure, that the cost, he had his eye on the gold. You know, they're going to give me these coins and I'm going to buy this piece of land. There's a cost to the things that come into our life. It was a choice he made. It was really a bad choice. I think we all know that. It cost Judas everything. I want to think about Eve for a minute. You know, the tempter, the serpent, came along and began to present to Eve's mind some thoughts. And Eve could have, she probably could have took another route through the garden. Maybe she went by that tree a lot of times. And who knows how many times the serpent talked to her. But she started listening to it. And you know, I cannot think that Eve ever dreamed what would happen if she listened to those thoughts that the enemy was presenting to her mind. It wasn't long until that beautiful garden they lived in, that beautiful home they had, that beautiful place they had, it was all gone because God drove them out of that place. She didn't realize that it was going to cost her everything she had. God told her that, but she didn't realize it. She didn't believe that. And the enemy presented to her mind things that deceived her. I think about just not so far down the road, we see it cost her one of her sons. It cost her husband's integrity and his life. Look at what Cain paid for that thing. Because we see that Eve entertained those things that were not brought captive to the obedience of Christ and of God. There's going to be things brought to our minds, and there's going to be things brought to our life that look pretty good, and sometimes they're not even sin. But I want us to think this morning about weighing up the things that come into our life and bring them into the obedience of Christ. Bring them into a place where they serve the Lord, where the decisions that we make are things that bless our lives. Instead of cursing her husband, she could have been a blessing to him. She could have stood firm right there. You know, the Lord would like for us to take heed to some of these things. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11 is another. It says here, now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And it goes on to say, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, he says here, these things are written for our admonition. They're written for us to take notice of. Eve didn't have those writings. Now, she had the mighty presence of God right in their midst day by day. She had those things, but she hadn't seen what was going to happen. But you and me have. We have examples and many of them, even all around us today. And these things are for our admonition. And God help us to take heed. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You know, in our life today, as saints, sometimes we could get a little comfortable sometimes, realizing that, you know, great truth has been given. The Lord has worked in our lives, many of us, many, many times in wonderful ways. But you know, there's never a time that we can pull down our guard and decide, you know, I think I'm doing pretty good now. Because about that time, the old enemy that never sleeps, he comes along and he's got some things for us. And I want us to think after a while about some of those little issues that maybe aren't even sin, that come along to deceive us, and the cost. The cost we never know until afterwards. We never realize, because what the enemy presents is the fruit, the taste, the wise, the understanding you're going to get the money you're going to get. He presents those things to people. If you look up just a little bit, it says here, "Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." You know, the scripture here says, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured." I'm thinking this morning about our flesh, about our humanity. The flesh, when it's left unbridled, it brings us into many, many problems in our life. I want us to think this morning about bridling our humanity, bridling our fleshly desires, and bridling the things, the thoughts that come to our mind, and allowing those things to come into the obedience of Christ, where they're a blessing like they're supposed to be, instead of a curse. I want us to keep one thought through this morning, that the flesh, unbridled and given its full measure, will not bring what it promises. What we read about here, I know, was outright sin. God had told them not to do those things, Eve, Judas. But nevertheless, they were promised great things. They were promised some things that made them feel like it was worthwhile. I want us to think this morning and keep that thought. The flesh, left unbridled, will not give us what it promises to give us. Eve never received what she thought she was going to receive. She never received in any measure what she thought she would receive. But she did receive. Judas never. He received that money for a little time. But he never received what he thought it would bring him. He never bought the things he was planning on having, or the securities that he planned on having in his life. I want us to look at James 1 and verse 14 and 15. I pray that the Lord would help us to be able to bring this to a place where it can deal with our lives in a way that can bless us. It says here, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." You know, I think about this morning here, and he goes on to say, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren." You know what lust is? It's a very strong desire. It's a very strong desire. Sometimes, and it kind of tends toward, many times it's mentioned about sensual things and things of that nature. But I want us to think about this morning the strong desires that are presented to us to fulfill our flesh, or to make us feel like that we can be fulfilled through our flesh. We picked up a hitchhiker one time, and this man had went through several states, and he told us, he said, I'm going to find myself. And he was headed for California. And I've often wondered, you know, I wonder what he got into out there. I wonder about the things he found, the things that he tried to indulge in to find himself. And yet I realize that he never found what he was really wanting. He could not have found what he was wanting in the flesh. I'd like for us to mark down in our hearts today, in our hearts, our flesh will never, by feeding those things in a lustful way, in a way that's not really, truly obedient to Christ, it will never bring the things that we want it to bring. We need to mark that down in our heart. If we want the things that are good in life, if we want the home that is blessed and a fun place to be and a happy place to be, if we want our children to gather up around our feet and love us and us love them, I want to tell you, the flesh is not the way to get there. If we feel like that we must indulge ourselves in the lust of the flesh, that we must feed our children on the lust of the flesh, on the strong desires of the flesh, and I'm not totally attributing those things to sin this morning. The very desires of the flesh, we all love to eat. But can we not take that to a point that it becomes, it kills us. It'll do that. You know, there's many things. We have to make a living. We have to make money. But you know, if we set our hearts on it, it'll destroy the very fiber within us. It'll cause us to be dishonest. It'll cause us to work when we ought to be with our children. It'll cause us to work when we ought to be doing the work of God, the call that He's put upon our heart. It'll cause us never to even hear the call when we allow the flesh a place in our life that is too large. It's too big. God made us as a spiritual being. And it is through His Spirit, through His Word working in our life, that our life comes into proper perspective and proper balance. Our life comes into a place where it is truly a blessing to us. It is truly a blessing to those around us. That is by cutting off the inordinate desires of the flesh. And we have to realize that. I know many times, and I've seen it done many times, parents in their best efforts. Sometimes we're not raised with everything they wanted and maybe felt neglected. You know what can be a major mistake is to turn around and give our children all the things of the flesh that they want. Those things will never lead our children to a place of true spirituality and love for God and love for life. They will never do that. The things of the flesh will do just what they did to Eve and to Judas and to so many others that we have examples for this morning. It destroys, it steals, it takes from. It took every good thing that Eve had in her life. It took it away. Every good thing, the wonderful place she had, the communion with God she had in her life was stolen from her because she listened. She had thoughts that were not obedient to Christ, and she didn't bring them into obedience. She entertained those things. She went out after those things, and she lost all the good things of life that God had entrusted her with. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err, my beloved brethren. We must realize the power of the five senses in our mind that we have. You know, Paul says over here in 1 Corinthians 9, I want to look at his feelings about this. Nine and 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what? I believe Paul realized the power of the flesh. And he said here, I keep under my body. I'm telling you, I keep under that thing. I watch that thing. I keep my body under in subjection to the obedience of Christ. Because if I don't, I realize that those desires, those things of the flesh that are common to us, they're not sinful in the way God has given them to us. But almost every sinful thing is something that the devil has taken that God gave for good and turned it into evil. Taken out of context, taken out of proportion, allowed it a place in our life that it should never have had. And what we find is all the good things that God planned for us to have in our life, it steals those things. You know, I can't tell you how much I value hearing the voice of the Lord? How many times has it kept us from erring? How many times has it led us in a way that we see that it's blessed our lives, that it's blessed those around us, the voice of the Lord? You know what? It don't take very much of this flesh to drown it out. It don't take very much to keep us from hearing the words of the Lord. I would like for the Lord this morning, oh Lord, search our hearts. Teach us those ways that will lead us in paths of peace. Teach us those ways that will lead us to your voice. That will lead us in a way that will be a blessing to all. A blessing even to ourselves and to the Lord as we listen to the voice of the Lord. I want to look up a couple of verses here. It says, Paul writing still, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. You know, I know we don't get into sports a lot, but we know what goes on with the sports world. We know the intense exercise. You look at the Olympic athletes and you see the great discipline that they bring their bodies under to attain that goal. And he says here, don't you know that those that run in a race, they all run, but one receiveth the prize. Somebody has stretched out there to receive that prize. And he said, you run that way. Run that way. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. They maybe get a gold medal. If they did the best in the world, they got a gold medal. But we an incorruptible. But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. You know, I believe Paul realized here that he was going to have to bring his human desires under the obedience of Christ in order to win the crown. I want us to just think about this morning. Oh, Lord, teach us to run. Teach us to prepare ourselves for the race. It's not all work. There's a joy and a beauty that God gives when things are right in His control and in His hand that makes our home a beautiful place to be, a sanctuary. You come in, you sit down, and oh, your soul begins to soak up what is there. I was thinking the other day, the Lord gave me a message a while back about the Lord supping. He said, I'll come down and I'll take up my abode with you and I'll sup with you. That word comes from to sit down to dinner. He'll supper with you. That's what that, if you read Strong's, that's what it says. You know, the Lord would like to be able to do that. And it's through hearing the Lord, through our communications with Him over dinner, through our supping with Him, that we understand His mind. We begin to be different than we used to be. The things we thought, we begin to give up. But here's what happens. When we don't strive in this way, when we don't keep our body under and recognize, and we begin to fight uncertainly, and we don't realize where our battle is. See, I believe Paul realized, my battle's me. I'm the guy that I've got to be sure that I keep under the obedience of Christ, that I keep under the will of God. Paul realized that, and he tells us, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself could be a castaway. These things, if we only realize the flesh is what will cause us to miss the mark. If we can recognize it's not somebody and it's not something, it's right here. It's our reaction, whether we bring ourselves into subjection to the obedience of Christ. And if we don't do that, what we find is a real shallowness in our perception and understanding of God's will in our life. We begin to pick up things that we have no idea what they're going to bring to us, but we should know. We should know. But because we allow our life to be filled with the desires of the flesh, and we crowd out that tender, soft voice of the Lord, and we don't sit down to supper with Him, we find ourselves pretty soon that the flesh has an upper hand. And we wonder what happened. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm not trying to throw things. Saints, this is where our battle is. If we can get it right here, we can live for God. He can work through our lives. We can hear His voice. He can put things in order in our heart and in our life. He can put things in order in our homes. He can make our relationships right between our husband and wives, between our children and their fathers. The Lord wants to do that. The flesh has to be brought under. The flesh has to be brought in control. I want us to think about Ecclesiastes 2. I don't feel like I'm going to be up here a long time. I don't know how long it's been. But I want to look at some of the words here. 2 and 24. It says here, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Do you know that the Lord made the things of this flesh to be enjoyable to us? He made a home to be enjoyed. And He made food to be enjoyed. He made the things of life to be enjoyed. But He says here, I saw this was from the hand of God. In its proper place, in its place where it's supposed to be, it's from the hand of God. It feeds us. It blesses us in so many ways. But He says here, for who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in His sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. He gives that to us when things are like they're supposed to be. But to the sinner, listen to what He gives to him. To the sinner He giveth travail. How many times have we watched people working their whole life away for a nest egg at the end? How many times have we seen them travailing all through life, cutting across their conscience, cutting across their relationships, cutting across the things, coming home grouchy, tired with their family, where it really counts? And then the cost. The cost in the children. That's where it is. That's where it lands up, in the home. And then so many other places we find it cropping out. But He says, God giveth to a man that is good in His sight wisdom and knowledge. That's what comes from those things that are right and good. And joy, but to the sinner He giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. We leave it all behind. They're going to give it away. When they're all done and they've spent their life travailing for the flesh, even if it's pleasures, and we spend our whole life trying to satisfy this flesh, trying to, instead of running the race, instead of conquering the flesh, drawing close to God, fasting and praying when we need to, giving up the things that we know would stand between us and God, instead we feed that. We spend our life trying to find those pleasures in life, trying to be beautiful, trying to be wonderful, trying to fill ourselves with whatever our temptation is. And then at the end, we just give it all up. And it's all gone. And we leave it. And if it has any gold or silver in it, somebody else gets it after that. I want us to think a little bit more about John 6 and 63. And Jesus was telling these people, he had fed them, and they were after that food, you know, after the things of the flesh. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, if in our lives we can understand the word of the Lord, understand the words that he speaks unto us, and open our hearts in a way that they become life to us. They become strength to us. He said the flesh, it don't profit anything. The I fed you all, you know, that's going to pass. But I want to tell you something. The words that I speak to you, they're life. They're spirit, and they are life. I think about a cake. You know, or a big a pan of food, potatoes, meat. You know, in a cake, you put spice in there. And in its right proportion, it tastes so good. It's just right. But you know, you can ruin it. The main ingredients in a cake is what, flour, water. The main ingredients are kind of mundane. They're like the everyday things of life. That's the main ingredients. You know, we live in a world today that we see the movie stars rising and falling because they're trying to live off of the fat. They're trying to live off of the spices, the things that you would put into rather than the things of substance. You know, the spices just give it a flavor. In our life, and I hope the Lord can help us here this morning, in our life, if we can put the enjoyments of life, the spices of life, in its proper place, in its proper place, it is such a blessing. But when it gets out of its place, it is like a cake that is filled with spice. It's filled with sugar. It's filled with too much of the things that make it taste good. And it ruins. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 5, it says here, 2 and 15, I'm sorry. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. It says here, we are unto God a sweet savor. If you look that up in Strong's, it's talking about an odor and a fragrance. The Lord would like our life to be in proportion. Paul said that he kept under his body. Paul recognized where his trouble was. Paul recognized what would give him trouble if he allowed it a place. Do we recognize that in our life? Do we recognize that those little spices, those things we enjoy, if we give them too large of a place, they will ruin everything that is good. The taste will be gone. The substance will be unedible. The value of it will become worth nothing. It's thrown out in the trash. Have you ever seen something like that thrown in the trash? I have, because it just wasn't edible. It was too out of proportion But many times, and I challenge us this morning, Lord, teach us. Teach us to allow things to be in its right proportion. Teach us to use the things you've given us and not abuse them. Teach us to allow the things that you've given us in life to bless our life. I think about when the things are too large in our life, what the result that begins to happen immediately is we begin to lose our spiritual energy, our spiritual zeal. The things that give us, and you know, when we have zeal, and when God puts a burning within our heart, and we allow that to work, it burns even more. It brings on a growth and a more and a strength. But when we begin to allow into our lives the things of the flesh too much, we all enjoy the things we have. We enjoy our cars and our homes. We enjoy being able to go places. We enjoy the things we eat. We enjoy our children having a good time. But I would like to challenge us this morning, because it takes something from God more than we have for us to be able to understand His mind. His ways are as far above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. And His thoughts are that high above our thoughts. If we just try to decide, you know, I think I love to do this. You know, I like to read. I enjoy reading the news. You know, children enjoy many things. They enjoy, children love computer games. You know what? I have recognized if we allow them to go unbridled, if we allow them to get on that thing all the time, it needs to be in a small proportion. That's my opinion. It needs to be in a small proportion, and I have seen it. And people, I don't believe many times, recognize what it is that's killing it. What it is, why? Why am I taking these losses? Because the flesh has an upper hand. I want to challenge us this morning that we help our children to control themselves. That we allow the main ingredients in their life to be the everyday stuff. The responsibilities of life, the things that they need to be doing, the things that they need to be taken care of. Sometimes we can get the idea that they need to enjoy life because I want them to love this thing. I want them to stay around. Do you know that is a trick of the enemy? That is a trick that will cause us to lose our children. It will. We must realize we cannot go unbridled. We better begin when they're young to train them to be bridled. To begin to train them what is the good way, the right way. Yes, you can go do that thing. I know you love it. But you know what? In 30 minutes, in an hour, I want you back here. We've got to put some fence in. We've got to clean the yard. You know, keep it that way. Don't let the flesh become unbridled. If we allow their flesh to be unbridled, you know what the flesh does? It feeds on itself. The more it gets, the more it wants. And it never stops until you bring it to obedience. Until you bring it to a place where you put it under and you make it be subservient to the things that are good and right and to God's will in our life. Those things, I know that, you know, we enjoy many things. I want to challenge us today, and I'm not throwing any stones. I know that there are many things on the internet to see. There are many subjects to find information about. Put those things in its place. Do not allow yourself to be on there a couple hours every day and you're finding out, well, I've only got 10 minutes for worship. I just can't seem to... You know what? We better take time for worship. We better take time and put that in its proper place. And a lot of the secret to these things is put the things in place that need to be in place first. That's the only way it works. You first put your time for worship in. I will not allow that time to be stolen from by anything. I will never allow it to be encroached on all the days of my life. I will never. I know there's a few days that, you know, things come up, something happens, you've got to go. But you know what? Our life better be a life that's in discipline. We've decided, I'm going to know the Lord in my life. I'm going to pay the price that it takes to know the Lord. And many people feel like, I suppose, well, you know, I want to do all these other things. Those things are thoughts from the enemy if they're out of proportion. And they will steal from you the very things that you're wanting. The things we want is something deep inside called contentment. The things we want is peace in our life and in our heart. We would like for our witness to those around us, the fragrance that they come from that they smell from our life. We would like for it to have an influence on them. You know what? When we allow things out of proportion and we don't put it first, we don't put the things of God first. And I'm talking about the whole thing, the true way of God in our life, the everyday living, the sacrifices to go and see that one that needs seen, the sacrifices to go and help those that need help. You know what that'll do to our children? It'll put things in proper perspective. Make sure they get a hold of that. Make sure they become a part of that. That they begin to feel the weight. Son, this sister over here needs her lawn mowed. You know what? We can find a lot of things for them to do. Because what they need in life is a little bit of spice and a bunch of flour. They need the things that make it right. The things that make it taste good. The things that make it edifying. Have you ever had meat? We love a little salt on the meat. It just tastes good. But have you ever had a piece that was so salty you couldn't eat it? That's the way a life is that's filled with the things of this world, with the things they love, with the computer time they love, with the friends that they love to be with. These things have to be put in their place. I want to urge us as parents to be strong enough with our children to put things in their place. And make sure that we're strong enough to hold them there. Because our children will not be. They won't be until they learn to be. Until God enables their life to take up. And by then they've understood some things about what makes life right. Make sure they understand what makes things right. And make sure they understand what ruins things. Eve never imagined what was going to happen. We have many examples, and the Lord gave us here and told us these things are written for your examples. They're written for us to understand. All around us are examples. And I don't talk about people a lot. I think my children would say we're very careful about that. But I want to tell you, when you see somebody out there floundering and you see them taking the way of flesh, of the flesh, and you see what it's bringing, make sure your children understand what's going on. Make sure they know if you take that way, that's the way it's going to be. Don't be deceived in your life. Don't think that you can have the flesh. Don't think that you can just take your own mind and your own ways and everything's going to be all right, because it's not. It's not going to be that way. It's always a deception. And you know, if we can understand that and communicate that, and live that way. You know what a blessing that is to those children? You know what it puts in their heart? An understanding that is a guard to them. My flesh has to be put in its place. My real work is to do the things God gave me to do. My real work, my real purpose in life, the things that 'll give me what I need, that it tastes good, is to do the things God gave me to do. I believe that Adam and Eve would have enjoyed life so much more had they stayed with what God gave them. I know that this reaches into many areas, and we could not possibly reach all of those areas, but I pray God, Lord, reach down in our hearts. Find those places. Teach us. The scripture says in one place, it talks about the cares, the riches, the pleasures. You know what? That starts reaching every phase of our life. Young people, pleasures. Old people, sometimes pleasures. The things, the riches. You see children set out and their goal will be some high and lofty thing in this life. Help them to know that's not where it is. We want you to succeed, but we don't want you to go after riches. We want you to succeed that you might use that thing for the work of God's sake, for the blessing of God's sake in your life. And you know what? If they'll put those things in proper perspective, they'll be a blessing everywhere it goes. I just want us to... Paul said one place in Timothy, he said, for bodily exercise profiteth little. You know what? Bodily exercise is real necessary, isn't it? It really is. It's necessary to good health. But Paul said it profits little. You know why? Because in comparison to what is more important than that, it's so little. There's not very much to it. The Lord would like for us to realize there is a life with God that He wants us to have. And it's not out there in the sky somewhere. It begins by us bringing our flesh into subjection. Lord, I'm going to let You have my life in a way that's meaningful. I'm going to let You have my time. I'm going to let You have my talents for You. I'm going to be willing to pay the sacrifices. I'm going to be willing to do that. I want to tell you, when we take the other way and we allow the flesh to be unbridled and we feel like our children have to have whatever it is, I'd say it's one of the most grave mistakes of our life. I just want to challenge us this morning with those thoughts. Oh, it's heavy on my heart. I can hardly stop. But God, teach us. Teach us how to live. Oh, teach us how to bring our flesh in subjection. Teach us how to do that. We're not talking about a straitjacket. We're talking about something that's right. A cake that tastes good. A cake that is a blessing. Y'all pray for me.